Hello, welcome back to Playing with Madness. So today we're experimenting with fourth dimensional space because the guys aren't here now, but they are here in the podcast. But in this moment, it's just me and Andrew. How's it going, Andrew?
Yo.
Hey, what's up? You ever had a homemade espresso that's actually good?
Nope.
Yeah, so, you know, it's for music, it's Puccini. For art, it's Bernini. But for espresso, it's Pasquini.
Pasquini, the exclusive espresso machine of Pescajumba.
Yes, yep.
If it's not Pasquini, it's not Pescajumba.
That's right. That's what gets Janet going in the morning. She's got the fanciest of espresso machines.
Janet and Andrew.
That's right. We're one of the same, really.
Is this one of the overlaps that you have with Janet?
I think so, yeah.
Hmm. Do you think Janet role plays? Does she play RPGs with her rich friends?
Oh, she role plays. No, but not RPGs. But I do wear latex gloves or nitrile gloves everywhere I go too. So that's another thing that we have in common.
Oh, I like to keep. I have an old tennis ball cylinder case. You know, you buy three tennis balls at a time. And I just pack that thing full of latex gloves, and I keep that in like a back door cup holder of my truck.
Yeah.
And that way when I need to like check the oil, or I usually wear them, I'll spray trees. I'll spray like different treatments for trees, and I'll put on I have a full like Tyvek suit that I wear, and then I have my latex gloves.
Nice.
Yeah. And little booties sometimes.
There's nothing more kind of disturbing than a kind of a crazy person walking around with half-ripped nitrile gloves.
I don't see that very often. Is that, do you encounter
that? I had
that
happen one time. Yeah, I was like helping a friend move, and his landlord like came down, and he was totally off his rocker and just wearing these like half-ripped gloves. I'm like, okay, we gotta get out of here.
I've seen people wearing nitrile gloves where they've cut the fingers off the tips.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, well, why are you even wearing those?
Well, it's so you can scroll on your phone.
You can use a phone easy through nitrile gloves.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really? Yeah, I guess you're right.
I haven't had any trouble with that. I was just wearing them, spraying a tree and changing my the music track of my phone the other day.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know then.
I'll tell you what, there's nothing more disturbing for neighbors than when you see somebody in your neighbor's yard wearing a full Tyvek suit with like a backpack sprayer on his back. And yep. I don't wear just like a regular N95. I have like a full face or a half face respirator. You know, it like has like the gas cartridges on it and everything. So it looks really industrial. And then I wear like glasses and everything. So whenever I'm out like spraying in somebody's yard, the neighbors, I can always see them like peeking out the window like, oh, what is going on?
What is he doing? Oh, wow. Gnarly. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Cool. Well, yeah, we're here. You and me. That's it now.
Yeah. So when did you start role playing?
Oh.
What was your first role playing game?
I started playing Dungeons and Dragons in fourth grade when I was like, I think 10 years old, with my buddies.
Would that be AD&D?
It was, Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
So you had THACO?
Yep.
Do you remember what that stands for?
To hit armor class zero.
Oh, he's an elder nerd.
I'm a legit, I've been around.
I don't think there's many kids that know what that even means.
No, probably not. Yeah. Oh, my armor class is -5. It's really good. Like what? We did that. Our buddy Gabe, his brother played who was older and then, got us into it. I got to go and do a live like LARP session with the older brothers. My character was like a squire to one of the other like PCs. Got to like run around the woods and play with like this super classic old school D&D group with like a middle-aged man as the GM, and it was amazing.
Oh man, yeah, that's next level. I've never got to LARP. I've always kind of wanted to, but I'm a little, I don't know. You're probably never too old to LARP.
No.
Back when I'd work these jobs in up in Washington, in Longview, Washington.
Yeah.
And there's a lake there that's sort of the only pleasant thing about that town. Lake Sacagawea. And I would work 6 days a week, but I'd have Sunday off, so I'd usually go for a run or a walk around the lake, and there was like always a crew of like goth kids that would LARP on Sundays. And I would walk by them, and I'd be in my like running gear, and I'd look like I'm some sort of jock fellow, and I'd just stare at them, and they probably thought I was judging them, but I was just jealous. I wanted to play with them so bad.
Oh, totally.
They looked like they're having so much fun.
I've had that experience too. Like, oh, those people are, oh, they're LARPing. I'm just too normal now.
Yeah, and they look over at you like, this normie's judging us. Whatever.
Totally.
But yeah, LARPing looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had fun. Sam Olive, our buddy Sam, was in that original games when we played when we were kids, and a bunch of other folks. And I had like some halfling character that was, you know, reminiscent of Frodo or Bilbo. You know, I love Lord of the Rings, and we played for a while, and then I didn't play for years until like end of high school as I got back into it and started playing with another group a lot. And we had a game with the Haydens, right?
With the Havens?
Havens.
Yeah, I don't remember that game.
Yeah, well, because
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was in high school, and then took another long break, and then we started playing again when we got back into Pathfinder.
Yeah, Pathfinder, I mean, that was just basically 3.0 or 3.5 D&D. But yeah, Pathfinder. So was that Rise of the Runelords? Was that when we got into that?
I think we started back in with that when you got all, you're like, we're going to do this AP, it's going to be amazing, and we got back into it. No, we did. Remember, we tried 4th edition, and we were like, this is dumb.
That was horrible. That was horrible because 4th edition sucks, and I was a raging alcoholic, and I could barely keep it together.
Yeah, and like everyone, like the party was, everyone was just so dysfunctional, and like we just, nothing ever really happened. We were like, oh, we got to save this town from these druids, and we just like burned the town down.
You guys were evil characters, and I was an amateur dungeon master should never have an evil party. It's hard. It's a complicated thing to run an evil party.
Yeah.
Because the motives behind everything are much more nuanced. It's much more interesting, but it's harder to herd the cats.
Yeah, for sure. My high school campaign with my buddies from high school, not our crew, different group of people, but we got really into it. We'd play like every weekend or a lot, and I got like a 17th level character, but I had a character that was the only character that lasted through the whole campaign. That was the only continuous like line, and we like finished the campaign. It was awesome.
I had that experience when I was younger. We played a really long campaign with the Havens and Chris Wozna, and we had this, so we were all like 13, 14, and we had a dungeon master named David Darby, and he was this Australian guy who was like probably in his mid-30s, but he just loved Dungeons and Dragons, and he lived out here in the sticks and didn't have anyone to play with but us kids. And so he was a kick-ass dungeon master, and we played a super long homebrewed campaign.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I think I started with a level 1 cleric of Pelor, which is like lawful good kind of guy. And his name was, my cleric's name was Jesus Christ. And I got him all the way up to 8th level until we got like TPK'd by what is TPK? It's total party kill.
Yep.
Yeah, total party kill for the people who are not dorks listening. We got killed by a vampire. One vampire just wiped our party.
Wow. That's
so brutal. That was the end.
Damn.
Yeah, Flame Strike was the shit.
Was like, you know, the books, the Drizzt, was it the Dark Elf, Forgotten Realms book or something?
Yeah,
like
I got into that, a couple of years ago. I listened to them because they put them all, they have them all in Audible.
Yeah.
So I think I listened. I mean, there's like 20 of those fucking books, and totally. I think I listened to 12 or 13 of them.
Yeah, my character was kind of reminiscent of that protagonist. Made it all the way through. A bunch of other characters died, and like the end of the campaign, I like was like raiding this black elf like stronghold or like castle thing, and just like totally just like charging in there on my own, and it was pretty fun. Anyways, well, we're here. Why are just the two of us here?
the just the two of us are here because we share a secret.
Yep.
We share a well, actually, not just you and me, but Janet also shares the secret.
That's true.
So they say that it's not a secret if it's more than two people, but I think Janet will keep it under wraps, right?
Oh, she's got to. Her life depends on it, yeah. Or her life,
her lifestyle.
Her luxurious life depends on it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so why don't we get started? So the lights, they come up slowly, red pulsing light, revealing long shadows in a dark warehouse. Silhouetted figures hang in long lines, lazily swaying. Several people enter the warehouse with flashlights cutting through the thick, moist haze. The people are wearing full hazmat gear. The beams of their flashlights pulse rhythmically to the red light as they weave their way between the suspended figures.
"We gotta find the breaker box,"
says a familiar voice over a muffled radio communicator. It's Janet Sparks. The figures search for some time in silence along the walls to find a breaker box. "It's over here." There's a moment of foreboding silence.
"Okay. Flip it."
As the lights come on, a blaring alarm also screams into the room. Cacophony is overbearing, and the warehouse floodlights reveal a dank room full of hanging pig corpses. All of the pigs are green and gray, growing mats of mold and fungus that creeps along the floor and wafts in dark clouds into the hot, wet room. The air is overbearing as we zoom up on Janet's face. Sweat drips down her brow.
"Disgusting."
Then it jumps to Janet jolting up in bed, her phone glasses ringing in the middle of the night. It is a large bedroom with a beautiful four-post bed and extravagant furnishings. The light of the readout on her glasses, pale green on the bedside table. "Who the fuck is calling?" her husband Daniel groans. Janet looks at the readout. Unknown number.
"Hello?"
"Janet, the meat plant has gone dark since your last inspection. Something has cut off all communications to the plant or the whole town. You're the only one who knows the inside of the facility, and it looks like there may have been some sort of outbreak. We need you to catch the first flight out there and report to the authorities on the ground. We can't let any of this get out. Do not tell anyone what is happening. Is that clear?"
"Clear as crystal."
Janet hangs up. "What the fuck is going on?" says Daniel. Janet is already dialing another number.
"I think we just got the break we need to keep the house, to keep our club membership, and to pay for your little infidelity, or as you said, mistake."
The phone rings and goes to an automated call menu.
"Thank you for calling MeatQuest, the world's leading biosynthetic luxury meat production company. Please listen carefully as our menu has changed. To place an order for the world's highest quality near-synthetic meat product, press 1. To check the status of your order of world-class meat, or to pay your bill, press 2. To schedule a tour of our unmatched and award-winning meat production and analytics facility, press 3. If you know the extension of the member of our meat family that you wish to reach, please enter that now."
Janet dials 3 numbers impatiently. The phone rings and then goes to an answering machine.
"You've reached Rob Tardigrade, Chief Science Officer of MeatQuest Analytics, where the meat makes us family. Please leave a message."
"Hey, Rob. It's Janet. I think I may have a solution to that production question you've been asking me about. We may bring some equity to the competition in the synthetic meat market. I just need to know your budget. Call me back as soon as you can."
Janet hangs up and starts packing her rolly suitcase. "Where the fuck are you going?" says Daniel.
"Pesca Jumba. I'm gonna need you to unlock the gun case and get me your taser."
"It's a stun gun, Janet. But sure, whatever you need. Just be safe."
Sure, sure. If this goes right, we may just get our retirement and get the hell out of here before that damn Cyber Sanders redistributes all the U.S. wealth and ruins the economy.
Well, thank you for that flashback, Andrew. That was pretty good.
Oh, so good, dude. Wow.
Yeah, I was blown away.
And then
all of a sudden, everybody's in the room with us again. Yeah.
Whoa, that's weird. Were you guys here the whole time?
No, we just fell in from the sky, dude.
Oh.
Oh, like the guys dropping down in Dune on like the gravity parachutes.
Is that what was happening? I thought they were just angels.
Sorry. I was in the cloud. Where are we? Room?
Okay, the boys are in the belly. To do the whole recap, previously on the meat plant, you guys entered the plant, you met Glengeman, you killed his henchmen, you got Pete in tow, and you exited the employee security area. You guys attracted the attention of a bunch of people in the shipping in floor, and when they started to come up the catwalk, you blew up the catwalk stairs, which attracted even more attention. So, like 30 people all went outside to go up through the security entrance, and they're after you. Pete Schmuck helped him put a piece of metal through the doors to the security entrance place. So that's stopping 30 people from getting at you, and you guys went into the belly. And as you were looking around the belly, you saw this, all the tentacles and the meat and the digester vats and the haze that's in there. And Mira noticed all of the trogs that were crawling along the ceiling. And they jumped down and you guys started battling the trogs last episode. And so our friend Carls decided to book it straight across towards the throat. And as he was running, 6 trogs jumped down and they're chasing after him. Then Janet went to the right or east over the digester vat catwalk, and 4 trogs went after her. And then another 4 trogs went after Mira and Smangler and Vincent. So you guys fought a little bit, and then it all kind of shook out where the Smangler and Carls are fighting 5 trogs at this point because they were able to kill one. And then Janet and Mira and Vincent are in the same spot and they're fighting against 5 trogs themselves, and 4 trogs have died. But Janet is asleep.
Yep.
And so we will pick up there. Anybody have any questions?
Why is Janet asleep? I forget.
Oh, yes. The trogs, who look like Gollum from the old Hobbit cartoon, they're like emaciated, pale green people in their underpants with big fish eyes, and they open their mouths up whenever they get close to you, and they spit out these, they have like chameleon tongues that shoot out of their mouths, and on the end of the tongues they have a barb with a little poison sac, and if that gets you and you fail a constitution check, you fall asleep. And so a couple of you guys got pricked. Vincent got jabbed, Carls got jabbed, and Janet got jabbed. But Janet was the only one that failed her constitution roll, and she passed out on the catwalk. And that's pretty much how it ended. Now, there's a couple of these trogs that are coming at you guys, and as they run towards you, they crawl underneath the bottom of the catwalk. So they're effectively, they have cover from you guys as they're charging at you. How do they get
up from there?
Huh?
How do they get up from there? They just go around?
Yeah, the catwalk is like, it's like metal. It's like a big metal walkway or bridgeway with bars that suspend it from the ceiling. And they're like spiders or frogs. So they're like running along the catwalk, and then they'll go around the side of it and crawling underneath it, and then they'll come up on the side and pop up next to you, you know? Mm. They're transhuman.
Sticky so, fingers.
Any questions before we start?
Good.
No.
Pretty clear for me, yeah.
Pretty clear danger.
Rankin Bass Gollum is my favorite Gollum. by the way. I like that version of Gollum.
He's the best.
What version?
Rankin and Bass, who made the old Hobbit cartoon where Gollum looked very frog-like, and you know, where there's a whip, there's a way, and
I didn't know that was the name. Is that the name of the studio or the?
It's the name of the studio. They did The Last Unicorn. They did all the claymation, like the Rudolph cartoon. They're awesome. I love all their stuff. They're fun and insane and
didn't
scary.
Ralph Bakshi do the Lord of the Rings that looks like it's supposed to be, in theory, it was supposed to be like tied together, but he did one and Rankin and Bass did the other.
Yeah, he got the rights to do, he was supposed to do the whole trilogy, but he ran out of money and just did half, like the Fellowship and half of Two Towers, and they threw it into one movie. And Return of the King and The Hobbit are Rankin and Bass.
Okay.
Yeah, they were like, holy shit, rotoscoping is expensive.
Yeah. I think they had to go to Spain and dress everybody like goblins rather than just drawing, you know? I think it was a cast of money saver. Anyways, sorry. I talk about this all day.
Well, you're going to keep talking because you're the first person to go. It's your turn.
Hello today. It is my turn. All right. I am next to Sleeping Janet and Smangler, right?
No, Vincent.
Me, Vince, and we have how many guys on us?
You have five guys. So you have three of them were just like fighting against Janet. Like their tongues are like out draped over her, and one of them has their tongue in her. And two of them were on Vincent, and Vincent ran over you guys, and so they're underneath the catwalk, like climbing under the catwalk at you. But yes, you have five baddies.
So I think I have asked this before. I wonder if you'll allow it again. Kind of an Overwatch thing. Could I wait to shoot till they pop around the catwalk? Like, ready in action to shoot as soon as anyone comes up over the catwalk? So I don't have the cover issue?
Sure. I mean, you're literally standing next to three guys that are not...
Oh, okay, cover. They're not... I thought they were all under... All right, cool. I will take a shot at the nearest one. It's all that makes sense.
Okay, it's my lucky number 7. Let's see if you can kill him.
My dice were sitting on a 99, so I'm giving him a good shakeup.
Oh, you got to shake that juju out of him, yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew, blowing my dice.
Which one poisoned Janet?
Don't blow into the mic.
Let's see. That would probably be number 10 is the one that got Janet.
Okay. She killed one too. Just remember that.
Yeah, I think we killed many people, but there's in every situation so far we are swarmed, and swarming with paralysis is
yeah, it's bad.
Quantity Recipe. Has a quality all its own.
Ooh.
Oh, by the way, I had my first meat nightmare.
Oh.
Nice. Oh, boy, yeah. that's really satisfying, because I had a lot of nightmares about your game.
Really? Oh, that's
cool.
Yeah,
I had the chicken nightmare, and I had nightmares about
season 1. This is weird.
About season
this is
one.
Weird.
Yeah, they're so, bonding over nightmares.
I'm so glad that you finally had a meat nightmare.
Oh, yeah,
it was hard
trading
to eat.
Nightmares.
It was hard to eat for, like, 2 days.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
I'm not going to talk about the content of it because I would probably puke. All right.
Cool.
05.
Yeah. Ah.
So I shoot him with my shotgun. Oh, it's my damage. It's
2d10.
2d10?
Oh, 16 damage.
Okay.
That's the real ding dong right there.
Oh man, I thought my internet died for a second.
Totally, I did too.
Joke fell so flat. All right,
don't put like the sad trombone with that one. I think it was good as it was.
Yeah, it is. That phased right through me like an incorporeal creature.
Don't tell me not to edit. Right, you blow number 7 away. Your slug just center punches, puts a little tiny hole in the front side, and it makes a big hole in the back side. I don't know how that works. Carl's, you're up.
Oh, sorry. One thing. I'm not going to move like far. I just will stand. She just straddles Janet so nobody like takes her or grabs her. Like Tish takes a couple steps forward because Janet's unconscious on the ground, right? On the catwalk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just stand over Janet to like protect her.
All right, that puts you really close to two guys.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll take the hit.
Okay. Carl's, you're up, buddy.
Okay, so.
So you have, you had your Scrambleton, your little drone owl, project a hologram of you last episode, and you fooled, I think you fooled like 4 out of the 6 of them. No, but it only worked for one. What?
It was 3 out of 5, right?
I think it was 4 out of 6, and then you killed one with your gun, okay. And then only one of them was able to attack you. So, but that hologram, they realized really quickly that it's not you, just like everybody at Coachella realized it wasn't Tupac. I don't know if that's a good reference. That probably... Maybe it was the other one.
We are slaying the jokes tonight.
That was Tupac. You're a Hollywood. I paid good money for that Coachella ticket, and he was there.
I like that reference.
I did enough stupid things in my younger years that I can be proud of being old and dumb. Your turn, Carl's.
Okay.
I don't think that's how it works at all.
And I'm, am I with Schmangler?
You are, Smangler's like right, yeah, you have the bad guys are like sandwiched between you and Schmangler.
Okay, and all of them have eyes on me right now?
They all have eyes on you. Three of them have their tongues like out. It takes them a turn to like swallow their tongues back in. So three of them have etungulated.
Can I ask a question?
No, it's his turn.
I was just wondering how far... He's down the center catwalk, right? Like, how far down is he? Like how close is he to just bolting across the room?
He did one double run turn, so I believe he's 60 feet.
Yeah, he's 60 feet. He's 60 feet down that catwalk, and you guys are 30 feet down the other way, so you're 90 feet away from each other.
And the catwalk's it's like 2 football fields, right? Like, he's got a ways to go.
If he was going to go try to get to the other side of the warehouse room, yeah, you'd be talking about going a long way.
They're still above me?
No, they're right next to you.
Okay, they're just on the catwalk with me.
They're on the catwalk with you. Catwalk is like, you know, you could pass like 2 dollies side by side on it, or hand trucks. Like, it's pretty wide. Like 8
2
feet wide.
Salvador Dali slain head to foot.
Oh, you're such an artiste.
dripping over the edge.
It's like melting like clocks.
Yeah.
Drippy flippers.
And there are 5 of them, yes?
Yes.
How wide is the catwalk?
It's about 8 to 10 feet.
Okay, well, and there's still lots of particulates in the air.
It is humid and gross in here, very, very specifically, I think.
Yeah, I believe I said particulate city last time.
Rave sweat or whatever.
Oh, God, this place is so bad.
Yeah, I forgot about the walls and everything, and it's a real-life fresh flesh prison. I don't like that.
Okay, well, I will have Scrambleton cancel that hologram and replace it with just utter, like, just scramble everything. He used Scrambleton-ing, like, so it's just an utter confusion, like, you can't see through it at all. And I'm going to run forward at Schmangler past them.
Okay.
What do I roll?
I'm That's not going to make you roll anything. I'll have you roll a computer science. I'm going to give you -55 to it.
What?
Because you've already been using this. You use this ploy once, so they might. They're probably inured to it. So we'll have to put on a hell of a light show.
It's just darkness. It's like it's just making it obscured, so they can't see.
He's gonna make darkness.
He's gonna like just make it so there's so much like light activity that, that you cannot see. Think of a thick fog that just got thicker.
No, it makes some sense, but I'm gonna give you minus 55 because I think they're in combat. I don't think it's gonna distract them that bad. It's like if you're fighting someone with a flashlight, they can blast you with it once, but then you know they have a flashlight and you can kind of be ready for when they put it in your eye again.
Like, no, that was just a hologram of me. Now all of a sudden they're enveloped in a thing where they can't see anywhere around them.
Okay. Well, it might work and it might not. Roll it up.
13.
Yeah.
Oh. Are you sure you're using 2d10s?
All right. I got a 1 and a 3. I'm using the rice doler and I got a 1 and a 3.
All right. So you will distract. Only one of them falls for it.
Okay.
Distracted. Okay. But yeah, you can run by them. Do you want to run 30 feet or how far?
I'm going to run back over to Schmangler.
Hide behind the Schmang.
Yeah. Oh, obviously.
He's only like 10 feet away from you. He's pretty close.
Yeah, so I'm just like, I made a confusion network so that he can work with, because now one of them is like, what is happening?
He is a techno Viking. He's very used to these light shows.
Yeah.
All right. Schmangler, you're up.
Slashing and slashing.
All right.
That's what he says. Slashing, famous catchphrase.
Okay. So this is
what like a 55-year-old superhero would say.
When he drops his old 1996.
Man Stangler, I want that comic.
He stands with his legs spread and his gi is all disheveled.
Is your gi black?
Yes.
Or is it like camo?
No, it's black.
Or is it like that blue camo, like snow camo?
No, it's black.
Okay. All right, so this is important. There are two of them that are normal. There are two of them that have they've shot their tongues out. And there is one of them who has shot his tongue out, and he's distracted. Which of those five do you strike at?
Are the tongues like shooting past me?
They shot them at Carl's, and they're, like, out on the ground.
Oh, in the other direction.
It doesn't matter where they are. They're just out, like, lolled out, and then they have to spend a turn, like reloading them, swallowing them back into their mouth.
I ask because I was wondering if I could just take a swipe and, like, try to cut the two tongues out off. Mm-hmm. If they're, like...
Oh, I will say if you roll a 10% or less, you can hit two tongues. You always want to hit more than one guy.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what having a katana. You always want to have that like what do they call it in D&D and stuff? Cleave. Is
cleave.
That what it is? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep.
I keep going for cleave. I don't think there is a cleave in Delta Green, but
you didn't take that feat.
Yeah, I didn't take the feat. Not really much of a foot guy.
What does that mean?
That was a good joke. That was a pretty good joke. I like that one. That was the best joke so far.
I'm trying to keep the jokes coming, you know?
All right. Well, keep the dice coming. Let's roll it up.
Okay. All right. I'm rolling. I got a 17 under 80.
They got a 59 under 60.
Oh.
So they were like...
on their dodge.
They were fucking untouchable then.
Yeah.
Well, no. You have like an 80 for martial arts.
Oh, that's true.
You could have rolled a 79.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I mean...
If you'd gotten your 10% and under, I would have given it to you.
But you did burn their turns. Because that's like a call shot. Because their next turn is spent from the dodge, so...
Yeah, well, they had their tongues out, so I determined they were going to be dodging anyways. But yes.
Oh, that's kind of a nice cheat for them.
I learned from you. All right, Vincent.
They should get a minus to their dodging because they're rolling up their tongues into their heads.
You should have a minus to your katana because you have to actively make sure your anus doesn't poop. Vincent, your turn.
I feel like with our high-grade weaponry, it's only basic logic that we would want to kill more than one of the guys when you throw so many guys at us.
There is, I think there is an option to, it's like suppress. There's an option, but I think it only works on sane people, but you can like spray on, like if you have an automatic weapon, you can spray bullets and make everyone dive for cover. But sorry, I'll look this up.
I know the rule. If a weapon has a lethality rating and you fire it at someone, especially if it's an automatic weapon, they automatically, even whether you hit them or miss them, they have to dive for cover unless they spend 1 point of sanity. They can resist the urge to take cover, or unless they are already insane or hardened to violence.
Fuck yeah, zombies are immune to all that shit, so we can't. You can't just like fucking. Or empty your clip, maybe, or something, but anyways.
Yeah, I think if you added enough flavor, you could do it. Bince, I would like to take out the largest threat to, like, Mira, which is, in turn, Janet. Which are two, you said, next to her?
There are two right next to Mira that have their tongues ejected, and there are two crawling, the two that were fighting against you are crawling under the catwalk towards you guys.
Would I need to do some kind of check to realize that once they have their tongues out, they're, like, less threatening for a short period of time?
No, I mean, you watched it. You don't have to do a check.
Okay, then I am going to take a 3-round burst at the nearest one that does not have a tongue out that is crawling up the catwalk.
Okay.
Boink. 17. That is a success.
Okay. Roll your damage.
7.
7? Mm-hmm. Okay. You notice that two of the bullets bounce off the catwalk as you're shooting at the guy. But okay. One of them hits. And he goes, ow.
He does not die.
He does not die.
Okay.
Janet, what do you dream about? Bullets.
Meat.
All right. Oh, boy. It's Vitrog's turn. Hoo-wee.
It's brutal. It's brutal. They all go at once, too. It's tough.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so the distracted one swallows his tongue while gazing about in Scrambleton's light show. So he won't be distracted, and he's no longer tongue out. These two guys run underneath the catwalk as Smangler swings at them while swallowing their tongues. Two of them that had been distracted by the hologram of Carl's turn around, and they eject their tongues at you, Smangler. And I got an 11... And I got a 93, so one misses. Roll a constitution times 5.
Yeah, no, I got a 91 over 60.
Oh, you fall asleep. You fall asleep.
No.
Sleepy Smangler.
That's really
bad. No tank for you guys.
Incoming Smangler.
If Dream one sequence. More person drops, I think we're gonna die.
We'll wake up with full tummies probably somewhere.
Oh yeah. Just well fed.
We're gonna be inside the belly of something guaranteed.
Oh my god. Outside.
So Mira, I'm sorry, it's been 20 minutes since you went. What were you doing? Were you holding an action to shoot somebody?
No, I just fired and killed someone and stood on top of Janet. I'm just straddling her, protecting her, basically. And I had two guys coming at me, but I think Vince just shot one of them but didn't kill them.
Yeah, it's the first time you guys hit one of these things and it didn't die. They're pretty gooshy.
I don't like that word.
Everything's gooshy here. The two that put Janet to sleep really want to take her. What do you think? How do you propose this goes? I think they're just going to grab her by the arms and start pulling on her.
Well, I'm literally standing on top of her. I think you got to fight me to do it.
You're standing on top of her.
I said I was straddling her. Yeah, like I got one leg on each side of her. You can't grab something under my legs without me being able to do anything. I think I could fight back on it.
Okay.
I'll fight. I fight back for Janet. How about that? Like,
that seems dreadfully complicated. So one of them's going to crawl under the catwalk to get cover while it's swallowing its tongue, and the other one is going to grab Janet's suitcase.
No.
And it's going to crawl underneath the catwalk with her suitcase. So that's going to be the suitcase boy.
You've really just taken everything from Andrew, haven't you?
Well, he did drop it, and they're interested in things like that.
I mean, they could just kill him with advantage, just beat him to death while he's on the ground. So
yeah.
That's not what's in store for you guys. All right, so 12 and 13 pop up next to you, Vincent. And I got a 0-4. And I got a 0-5.
No.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh, you better. What's your con, dog?
Roll your constitution.
I'm going to use my bottle cap. Do I declare that now or?
No, you can declare it after. You can roll.
Okay.
Wait, I don't know. How do you do that, Jared? Do you think he has to declare it before? I don't think so.
No, after is fine with me.
Yeah, so you don't even have to declare it. It's if you fail, you can be like, I'm going to reroll that with my bottle cap.
13. Yes.
So that's one.
Two rolls is fucking brutal.
Why did you have to make it two? 77. Oh, that's going to be a reroll.
That's
bottle cap expunged. 23.
Under probably, that's 40, probably a pass.
45. Yeah, sorry.
They're really 45. Low. Okay. So sad.
God, it's so, I'm not okay.
Well right. played.
This so is fucking these, terrifying.
Yeah.
So these guys are undercover. These guys are tongue out and they're balls out, so they'll probably die soon. Pete, who has just been staring in horror for the last 12 seconds at the belly, the place where he has worked for, like, probably the last year he's been working here in the meat plant, you know, helping set it up even and get the meat lines going. He has just been just utterly petrified, stupefied at what has happened to this place because he hasn't seen it.
Horrified.
All those. He's fied. He's super fied.
He's super fied.
But he kind of snaps too, and he's going to flip a coin to see which half of the team he goes with. Oh, he's feeling brave, and he wants to go to Carl's aid.
So he
charges 30 feet forward with his knife, and he strikes at the distracted one. And he misses really, really badly, because he has no skill with a knife.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy, Carl's, we're going to take him out, buddy. And it's Mira's turn.
Go for the throat.
As the fourth round begins, you hear down, like way behind you, you hear the door that you guys put that metal pipe through or that metal bar through. You hear it like get slammed super hard back there. Mira, you're up.
Oh, fuck. I was just trying to think about waking somebody up, but I got nothing for that. So I am going to... who's over the catwalk? There's two fucking with Vince. The ones that were fucking with me and Janet have ducked under the catwalk, correct?
Yeah, one of them just ducked under to hide, and he's like in kind of a dodging mode. He's like all shifty, and he has cover. And the other one just grabbed your suitcase and took cover underneath the catwalk. And then the two that are around Vince popped up next to him, and they both flopped. They both actually jabbed him with their tongues, but he is resisting with all of his Christian might.
Oh, shit. Yeah. All right. Decisions are hard. Isn't anybody else run into that shit? Fucking sucks. All right. I'm going to.
I'm so glad I'm not you.
So I turn back towards Vince, keeping just standing over Janet. And shift so I have one of them just in line with my shotgun without Vince behind them. And take a shot. 87 over 80. So, never mind.
No! Oh, it's a whiff!
And, yep, that's my turn. I'm actually kind of running
so you've
low
done
on
some,
album.
You've done some pretty good scenes in this. You might have a couple bottle caps, I imagine. You want to give me any of those sweet, sweet bottle caps?
Nah, you spend bottle caps on saving yourself, not hitting people. I do.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
There's like 35 of these guys. Shooting one of them doesn't change where we're at all, in my view.
All right, Carls. Time to shine.
All right. So
you got Smangler asleep at your feet, and you got Pete Schmunk ineffectually swinging some sort of knife that who gave him that knife? Benson?
It's a decent Thunderhawk. It's a 5-inch blade.
It's no Tonto, though.
It isn't a Tonto.
Not a Tonto.
Mira's like, oh, he would have been fine if he had my knife, but I would never.
And are all five of the guys still on the thing? On the catwalk? Two are underneath?
Two are underneath, and then three of them are up there with you guys.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to... whichever one is closest to me of the Trogs, I'm going to take... What's his name again?
Scrambleton.
No, the man.
Smangler.
Pete.
I'm gonna be like, you did well. You will be honored in the cloud. And fucking pick him and throw him at one. And then try and run past.
That is awesome. That's good job.
Okay, so you kick Pete at one of the bad guys, and then which way do you run?
Towards... Just further toward the throat.
Okay, back. So you like
yeah, I'm backtracking.
Went through them, and then went to the Smangler, and now you're kicking Pete into them, and you're running the other way.
I thought Smangler would be more effective.
I love that you went back to help someone, and then on your way the other direction have to sacrifice someone else to get back through. That's awesome.
It'll all work out in the binary.
All right, roll a d6.
Three?
Okay, so Pete, you push Pete, and he topples onto two of them.
Okay.
And they fall to the ground, all three of them together.
And so can I take a movement action after that to run 30... feet or whatever?
Absolutely.
So yeah, you run 30. Keep going.
You run 30 feet. Okay.
Mira gives you a thumbs up as you go.
Smangler, what do you dream about?
Dream about one of the movies I was recently a stuntman in, and romance I had with one of the other stunt women.
Old Amber Head?
Yeah.
What movie was it, though?
It was called Fingers, Fingers, Fingers.
A classic.
It's good to know they're still making movies like that in 2031. Vincent, yes. What do you dream about? Oh, wait, no, you're still awake. Okay.
Fuck off with that shit. I am not asleep.
I am awake, damn it!
I am staying woke.
Is it Vincent's turn?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Sorry. I'm going to take another shot at the nearest one.
Okay.
45 under, I think, 70. Yes, 73. So success.
Make the damage.
Oh, I got a one.
Oh, you got a one? One damage?
One.
Winged him. You winged him.
Oh boy, you're going to sleep. All right,
that's the worst possible thing.
You can move, Vince, if you want to start running, or you can hang out with me and Janet, and we can all go to sleep together. Either way,
I'm gonna book it past them. Can I get out of tongue shot?
Oh yeah. Their tongues only have like a 5-foot range. They pretty much have to be in melee with you.
I'm going to book it and get out of tongue shot.
Oh, tongue shot's a tough word.
I don't know.
What tongue shot. Direction? I'm going to go further towards the corner.
Okay. Going to leave old Smangler and Pete to their own, huh?
I'm going to rendezvous with them. This catwalk has multiple ways for everything.
Okay. Janet, what do you dream about? More meat?
How many rounds does this last?
Nobody's tried to wake you up. I don't know.
Ugh.
Oh, Jesus.
She's golfing now.
Oh, like, that's sweet. with her husband or with her hot golf instructor?
With her husband, but she's just smashing martini glasses, but it's like all glitched out, so it's like over and over again, just smashing.
Oh my god.
Could it be Crispin Glover instead of your husband? Like, just never mind. I'm not gonna rewrite your dream. Sorry.
All right. After
he's not there. It's her in the martini glass.
After Janet comes the Trogs. All right. Let's see. How are we gonna do this?
I think we're all gonna go to sleep. That's what it seems like.
Whoa, dear listener. Well, that's about enough of that. We went extra long on this episode, so we decided to cut it into two. So, please tune in next week to find out what happens to our intrepid heroes on The Meat Plant. Playing with Madness is released every Thursday on your podcast app of choice. For more from us, please visit Playing with Madness Podcast on Instagram, or you can contact us at playingwithmadness@gmail.com. You can also visit r/playingwithmadness to join related discussions on Reddit, and consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/playingwithmadness. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps. Thanks!